Thank you. Shall we bow our heads together in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the beginning of another session. Lord, that is our heart, our desire, our cry. We want to walk with the Lord in the light of your word. Father, I pray you'll make Bible women out of all the ladies that are in this room. Make Bible women out of them, dear God, that they may know the joy and the blessing of God. Father, we commit this session into your hands. Lord, I pray for grace to be able to say what I need to say today in a right way. Oh Lord, I'm just looking to you. And God, we all agree here together that your grace and your power would be with us through this session. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We greet you all in Jesus' name. I think the last time that I stood before a room full of sisters was about 12 years ago, and I forgot what it's like. And I must say, it overwhelms me just to be in this room and just have a room full of sisters sitting here. It overwhelms me as I realize the power and the potential that sit in this room today. So I trust by God's grace that He can minister to us today and enlighten our way in a holy path. I know that's His desire. The subject at hand for this morning's session is, I've entitled it, The King's Daughters. We're not going to turn to the psalm, but the title comes out of Psalm chapter 45. Maybe you've seen that little phrase used before, or you may have even had it on a plaque in your room. I know that I've seen it before from time to time as I walk through a sister's room. I've seen the little phrase on their wall or on a plaque, "The King's Daughter is all glorious within." And that is the verse that I drew my text out of and out of Psalm 45. It speaks about a king in Psalm 45. That psalm begins by saying, the psalmist says, "My heart is bubbling over. My heart is filled with excitement concerning the king." And Psalm 45 basically is speaking about a king. The description of the king, who he is, what he's like, what his people are like, what his kingdom is like. And of course, now that we look back on Psalm 45, standing on the other side of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Psalm 45 is speaking about our king. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the description of the king, there in Psalm 45, it also talks about the king's daughters. And that's what we would like to focus on here today. I realize that in a sense, when we get to glory, we're all going to be married to Jesus. But I'd like to speak more in the light of you, young ladies, being daughters of the King of Glory. Because that's exactly what you are. My mind goes to the Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where God promises His people that if they will separate themselves from darkness and separate themselves from the world and that which is unclean, He promises that He will be a father unto them, and they'll be His sons and His daughters. So I know that in this life and in these robes of flesh that we have, God looks at you as His daughters. You are daughters of the King today. And that's what we'd like to focus on in our teaching today. The scripture there in Psalm 45 says that the King's daughters are all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. And as I ponder that scripture, and I ponder it in light of New Testament Christianity, I know that God had more in mind there than just to talk about outward clothing. But what God is speaking about is the beautiful, radiant life that characterizes the daughters of the King. And that's what God is speaking about there in Psalm 45. That is my desire for each one of you. I assure you that my desire is that you be beautiful, radiant young ladies. I know that is the will of God. You may have some different ideas than what I'm going to present to you today on how to bring that to pass, but I want to assure you as I begin that my goal is that you be, in fact, that very thing. Beautiful, radiant daughters of the King. It's the will of God, and that is my prayer for each one of you. This, as I ponder this matter of being the King's daughters, I could not help but think about a few of the young ladies in the Bible. And we're just going to briefly skim over the three Marys in the Gospels, because each one of their lives can bring out some beautiful characteristics about the King's daughters. And first of all, I'd like to bring our attention to Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was one of the King's daughters, without question. As I ponder her life, and we know that the Scriptures say that the angel Gabriel appeared unto her, and she was a virgin, a spouse to Joseph, waiting for the day when she would be married. And here this angel appears to her, and he says a few things to her that bring out to me that she was a very special woman in the sight of God. He said to Mary, "Mary, you are highly favored of God." Highly favored. Now, I believe the reason why she was highly favored is not just because God chose her to bring forth His Son, the Lord Jesus, but I believe she was highly favored because she was one of those beautiful, radiant daughters of the King. That's why she was highly favored. We can see by studying a little about her life that she believed God, because the angel gave her the Word of God and she said, "Let it be even according to Thy Word." She believed the Word of God. A little bit later in the text there in Luke chapter 1, we see her prophesying and magnifying the Lord. And all the way through the text, as we see her young life, we see that she was clothed with humility. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a daughter of the King. Secondly, we also would like to ponder just a moment here about Mary of Bethany. We know the story very well about Mary of Bethany, how she had a sister also named Martha, and Jesus came to their house, the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. They were brothers and sisters, and Jesus was there, and Martha was busy making a meal, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from Him. God exalts the testimony of Mary of Bethany because she loved Jesus. Another place in the Scriptures we see just before Jesus is ready to die, again we find Martha in the kitchen preparing a meal, and what do you know, but Mary appears on the scene with an alabaster box. She's not in the kitchen preparing a meal, but she's there with an alabaster box of ointment, which is the cost of a year's wages, and she breaks it and pours it on the head of the Lord Jesus. And her testimony is known throughout the Christian world for the last 2,000 years. I say this morning that Mary was one of the daughters of the King. And then the last example is the other Mary, and that's Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was the one out of whom seven devils was cast out. Mary Magdalene was the one who was at one time an evil woman. She was a prostitute. She was a wicked woman. But she found faith in Christ Jesus, and to whom much was forgiven, much love was given back. And we find Mary Magdalene there at the house of Simon the Pharisee. There she is, washing the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiping His feet with her hair. We see by these three examples the true heart of a daughter of the King. Mary, the mother of Jesus, loved Jesus with all of her heart. Mary of Bethany loved Jesus with all of her heart. And Mary Magdalene loved Jesus also with all of her heart. As we study the lives of these three women, we can surely see that every one of them was a daughter of the King. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is just look at a few characteristics, and many of these we could find in the lives of these three women that we've already spoken about, but I'd like to look at some of the characteristics of a daughter of the King. What are some of the things that will make you a radiant, beautiful young lady? Now, my prayer is that God will stir a deep hunger within each one of you to be just that, radiant and beautiful in the sight of God. What do the King daughters look like? Well, I'd like to begin by saying that they are clothed with a knowledge and love for Jesus. We can just turn right around and look back at those three Marys and see that this is the wellspring by which everything else that I'm going to say flows out of. But that is number one. The King's daughters, they are clothed with a knowledge and love for God. These three Marys love Jesus with all their heart. It seems as we study their lives that nothing else mattered to them. It seemed as we study their lives that their knowledge of God and their love for God was number one on the priority list for their lives. And I'm going to say many things here this morning as far as giving you priorities for your life, but I want to begin where the fountain begins, and that is with a knowledge and love for God. If you're going to be one of the King's daughters in reality and be clothed with a radiant beauty, this is where you need to begin. Now, the world would tell us many different things that we should do to be beautiful, but this, I promise you, this is where you must begin. With a knowledge of God. Just like Brother Philip has already shared with us, you'll probably hear it till you have got it memorized this week. You must know God, just like Paul, who said that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. My sisters, you have got to know God. He has got to be a priority in your life. He's got to be number one. You must be married to Jesus, sisters. You must be in love with Jesus. That is the number one thing. Let that be the foundation of your whole Christian life. If you want to be beautiful, be married to Jesus. That is number one. A personal relationship with God. And you may say here this morning, and it's very possible that there are some sitting here in this room this morning, you may say, well, what is that? I don't know what that is. I hear people talking about it, but I don't have one. I pray. I have my devotions. My heart is strengthened when I go to church, and sometimes I have a sweet time as I read my Bible. But what do you mean? A personal relationship with God. Well, I want to encourage you on this point. I believe with all my heart, if you make that the number one priority in your life and come and see me a year from now, you will be able to say, Brother Denny, I know what you're talking about now. I made it a priority for the last year to know God, to have a personal relationship with Him, to have fellowship with Him every day. And Brother Denny, I know what you're talking about now. I believe with all my heart, if you'll make that a priority, in a year's time, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it is the beginning. It is the beginning of a beautiful and a radiant life, is a knowledge and love for God. Jesus said these words, "This is eternal life, that ye know God." Brother Philip read the scripture out of Daniel, "And they that know their God shall do exploits. They shall be strong in God, and they shall do exploits." And I would say this morning to you, if it is your heart's desire to be one of the King's daughters and known that way and have that testimony, begin right here and set your heart to know your God. I say this to you, you have no idea this morning what God has in store for you if you will set yourself to know your God. Did Mary, the mother of Jesus, know God? Did Mary of Bethany know God? Did Mary Magdalene, did she know God? And God wants each one of you to know Him in a personal way. Second of all, if you want to be one of the King's daughters, you need to be clothed with a knowledge of this book right here. And again, we're laying a foundation. And again, I'm not telling you anything that you do not already know. But it's very possible that you'll hear a lot of things this week that you already know. But you must be clothed with a knowledge of this book. Now, I cannot this morning set before you, sisters, and tell you that you're going to be a preacher someday, so you need to learn the Word of God. That's what I'd do if I was upstairs right now. I cannot stand before you and say, you're going to be a leader someday, you need to learn the Word of God. I cannot tell you that. I cannot use those illustrations to motivate you. But I can tell you this. If you'll make the Word of God and the learning of the Word of God number one in your life, you'll find that Word flowing back out of your heart and life all the rest of your days until Jesus comes. I think of my own life and testimony and how that I was converted when I was 23. And I got a late start, I'd have to say. But somehow God put within my heart back there when I was a young Christian a desire to learn the Word of God. And I made it a priority in my life. And here I am now, almost 20 years later. 19 years I've been a Christian. And I don't know how to express it strong enough to you that the Word of God, if you'll lay it and make it the foundation of your Christian life now while you're the age that you are, before your life gets real busy, and I promise you it will get very busy. If you think you're busy now, you just wait. It will get more busy. You won't be able to have the time that you have now. But if you'll make the Word of God a priority, that Word will just keep coming back and coming back. You'll find yourself in quiet moments, the Word coming back to your heart. You'll find yourself at times when you need to give a word to somebody. You'll find yourself before your own, very own children someday needing to give a word, and the Word will come back and it will be there for you. You hide that Word in your heart. It is like a well. It'll just keep coming forth and coming forth and coming forth. You'll find yourself at times when decisions need to be made. in the Word which you've hidden down inside your heart because you've studied it and you've made it a part of your life and you know it intimately and you know what it says. Not because the preacher told you, but because you studied it out on your own. That Word will come back to you at times when decisions need to be made. And there you'll have your answers. It'll be right before you. I promise you, it will bless your life all the days of your life if you'll do it. And if you don't, you'll look back and say, oh, if I would have done it when I didn't, when I had lots of time. And you will do that, and you will say that. You'll look back and realize that in this stage of your life, you had a lot of time. You will do it. Make much of the Word of God this week. This is a good place to get started. Right here, this week. My mind goes to the many trips that I've made to Africa and all the many young people that have gone over there with me. And every time I see it happen in all of their lives. Get over to Africa. More time to read the Bible. More preaching going on. Out witnessing. And the Word is constantly in their lives. And they get washed and washed. The Bible says that the Word will wash you. And the more of the Word you get, the more it'll wash you. And they get washed and washed and washed. And they get cleaner and cleaner. And they thought they were clean when they went. But they get cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And their lives are never the same for it. I would encourage you to do the same thing this week. You have one of those kind of situations where you're going to be hearing the Word all day long. And you'll be reading it in the morning. And assignments will be given to you. And those assignments will have the Word in them. Just make much of the Word this week. And then when you leave at the end of the week, just keep right on going in that path, making much of the Word of God. My mind goes to an illustration out of the biography of a young lady's life. Maybe you've seen some of her songs. Frances Ridley Havergale. How many know that name? Let me see your hands. Oh, a few of you. If you'll look through the songbook, you'll see that she wrote some songs in there. And if you're ever in a Christian bookstore, you'll notice that she wrote a few devotional books in her day. She died a young lady, I think, in her 30s. But her testimony has always blessed my heart. From the time that she was a young girl, she took the Word of God and spent much time in it. And she was like a man. She always had a pen in her hand, and she marked in her Bible, and she studied her Bible. She didn't just read it. You know how sometimes you do, I've got to have my devotion, so I'm going to read the Bible. But she sat down with a book, and she studied the Word, and she combed its pages. And as she learned the Bible, she cross-referenced over here and saw that this verse matched this verse over here. And she marked in her Bible, and she wrote things in it, and she studied it out, and learned many things that way. And it was said of her that she was always sharing with somebody else some beautiful nugget that she got out of the Bible in her own personal devotions. So you see, my sisters, it's not just for the men that are sitting up there to get in and dig and learn the Word. You can learn the Word of God. You can be blessed by the Word. You can become a student of the Word of God just like the men. You may not stand and preach it from a pulpit, but I guarantee you, you'll preach it to your children, and you'll preach it to your sisters, and you'll preach it to others all through your life, if you'll put it deep down inside of your heart. So, the king's daughter is also clothed with a knowledge of the Word of God. Number three, the king's daughters are clothed with a spirit of submission. A spirit of submission. And I use the term that way on purpose, because there is a big difference between submission and the spirit of submission. In fact, I would say they're about this far apart. From here all the way over to this wall over here. they're about that far apart. So I would encourage you to be clothed with the spirit of submission. You know, the Scripture teaches there in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the letter of the law and how that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Well, that's not just talking about the Old Testament. We can do the same thing with New Testament principles if we just try to do what it says rather than to submit ourselves to the spirit of what the Word of God is saying. And when the Bible speaks about submission, and more specifically about sisters being in submission, God never had in mind that you just obey because you have to. That is not what God had in mind. God had in mind the spirit of submission. If you have the spirit of submission, all the rest of it will take care of itself. If you have just an obedience, if you obey because you have to, because you're keeping the letter of the law, and you know the Bible says you're supposed to obey, so you obey, I promise you a life of trouble and turmoil with every authority that you come in contact. I promise it to you. The spirit of submission is what God wants. You will face this matter of submission all of your life. I can safely say that, speaking to just a room full of sisters with no brothers here, I can safely say that. You will face this matter for the rest of your life upon this earth. I would encourage you to set your hearts to learn the spirit of submission. If you'll get it, you'll be happy all the rest of your life. If you don't learn it, you'll be troubled all the rest of your days. I promise you. I can promise you that. By the grace of God, master the spirit of submission. In your young years, master the spirit of submission. Most of you young ladies in this room this morning are at home yet. And you have a beautiful opportunity to master not only obedience, but the spirit of submission. Now, there are two ways that you can develop this, and I'd like to give them both to you. First of all, you can learn this spirit of submission by the authorities in your life bringing you into subjection. You can learn it that way. Always having an authority rocking your boat. Always having an authority coming up against you. You will learn it that way. If your heart is still open, you will learn the spirit of submission that way. But let me recommend to you a much better way than that. And that is, put yourself underneath authority. That's a much better way. Put yourself underneath authority. Go to those that are in authority over you. Go to your father. Go to your preacher. Go to any wise man in the church and put yourself under authority. It'll bless your life all the days of your life. Now, there, one of the young sisters that lived in our home, and we've had several, so you don't know which one I'm talking about, but one of the sisters that lived in our home came to me shortly after she moved there and put herself under my authority. And I would recommend to you sisters that you do that. You may sit here today and say, well, but my father is not a strong leader and he doesn't take authority in our home. Well, listen, I'll tell you what it'll do. If you go and put yourself underneath your father's authority, it'll make him accountable. That's what this sister did to me. She said, Brother Denny, I need to be under authority. I'm putting myself under your authority. I want you to watch over my life. I want you to tell me if you think I'm doing something wrong. I want to know how long you want me to be gone when I'm gone. I want to know if it's okay with you where I'm going. and how long I can stay there. And I mean, I just thought, wow, this, what am I going to do? And she not only did that in an official way, but constantly she would come to me and say, am I doing okay? What do you think? Am I being submissive? Am I getting home on time? Am I going to the places? Do you see anything in my life? And she'd do that about every 2 weeks. And she just put herself underneath my authority. And she made me become an authority over her life. Because she kept coming and saying, what do you think about this? I need to buy something. What do you think about this? I need to go here. What do you think about it? And she put herself underneath my authority. Now, you can take either one of those ways that you'd like, but I would recommend the second one to you. It's much easier. And you'll develop the spirit of submission a whole lot faster that way. The other way, you know, those when the authority comes and says, I'm not happy with what you're doing. I don't think you should be doing that. And maybe you have an argument about it, and they say, but you're going to have to do what I say, and okay, and you obey. You know, you're sitting down, but you're standing up on the inside, and all that does is make you go to your room and wrestle the thing out, and finally you get clear, and you're able to submit all right. Now, that you can learn it that way. But I would recommend the other one to you. It's so much better. It's so much more of a blessing. And I promise you, you're going to find yourself surrounded by authorities all of your life. This is the will of God for sisters. Learn it right away. And I'll tell you a secret too. You have more power than you realize. You have more power to influence those very authorities over your life than you realize. But there's only one way you'll ever do it. And that is in the spirit of submission. So learn and develop and master the spirit of submission. The king's daughters, they're clothed with it. And it's a beautiful garment. Number four. The king's daughters are also clothed with a prepared life. And by that, I just like to zero in a little bit on the preparation for life for you sisters. Probably most of you in this room will marry, and probably most of you will have children. I think that it's good and right and honorable that you prepare for that life, so that when the day comes, when you find yourself ready to be married, and the day comes when you find yourself ready to bring forth children, you are prepared. It's not time to learn how to raise the children after you have them. Now, some of us had to do it that way, but you don't. It's not time to learn how to take care of a husband when you have one sitting in the house where you live. Some of us had to learn that, but you don't have to. It is the will of God that you be prepared. The Bible teaches that you will be keepers at home. Learn how to stay home. The Bible teaches that you will be keepers at home. Learn how to keep a home. Make that a class that you're going to study and prepare for, so that when the day comes when you can keep your own home, you're prepared to keep a home. I believe it's the will of God for every sister who is 16 years old or older. I think she ought to be ready to keep a home. I'm not saying she's ready to get married, but she should have been practicing and learning and studying and preparing that her mother can go away and leave the three young children with her for 5 or 6 days, and she can just keep that home just like Mom did. That takes some preparation. And I believe that it's one of the characteristics of the king's daughter, that she be prepared for her life's occupation. That she knows how to love children. That she knows how to care for a husband.
And you may say, well, now how do I practice that? Well, why don't you just wear your father out? Just wear him out. Practice on him. Practice honoring him. Practice blessing him. Practice encouraging him. Practice supporting him. Practice writing notes to him. Practice taking care of his clothes. Practice taking care of his life. Just wear your father out for a while on practicing being a wife who can properly care for a husband. I do believe these are characteristics of a king's daughter. I think of the virtuous woman and Proverbs 31. And there are many characteristics in there that could have been covered in the first 2 points of the message here this morning. But we also need to note that the virtuous woman, that woman that God took a whole chapter in the Word and lifted her up there before the eyes of all humanity that opens up the Bible, she was concerned about clothing for her family. She was concerned about food for her family. She rose early and knew how to order her house. She was concerned about gardens and working outside and preparing food and canning food. She was an industrious woman. She was busy with her children and she kept her house well, the Bible says. And I would encourage each one of you to clothe yourself with the preparations for life's occupation. One of the dangers that I see among the plain girls in the plain community is when they're 14 years old, they go out and get a job. It's time to get a job. It's time to make money. It's time to start putting money in the bank. My sisters, you don't need money in the bank. You need to be prepared for your life's occupation. And many times, I've heard the testimonies of older sisters. They were not ready for marriage. They had $10,000 in the bank, but they weren't ready for marriage. What man wants a woman with $10,000 in the bank that doesn't know how to keep house or take care of the children? What's $10,000? He can make it in a half a year. Prepare yourself for the real life that you'll find yourself in all of your life. And besides, one of the greatest ministries that you'll have as a sister is the ministry you'll have in your older years, which takes all your life to prepare for. And that is when you become an older sister who can teach the younger sisters by example and by word how to be keepers at home, how to love their children, how to love their husbands, and take care of their households. That will be your ministry. You can have a powerful ministry in that someday. But you've got to be ready for it. Start preparing now. Number 5. Oh, that's right. We have till 12, don't we? Praise the Lord. I thought we had till a quarter till and I was speeding up here. Number 5, the king's daughters. They're clothed with virginity in spirit and in body. These are the king's daughters. Most of the time in the Bible, as God speaks about young ladies, He speaks about them as virgins. And there's a reason for that. In the Bible, young lady and virgin are synonymous words. In the world we live in today, they're not synonymous words anymore. But in the Bible, they are synonymous words. Young lady and virgin. It seems to me, as I study it in the Bible, that God assumes that every one of you will be a virgin young lady. And I think it's good that standard be lifted up high, even here in this room. I'll never forget the shock on Brother Francis Anassi's face, that's the African pastor, a year ago when he was here among us. And he was at Youth Bible School Week just like this. And he was standing in the back of the auditorium looking over all the youth. And I said, Brother Francis, for the most part, they're all virgins, boys and girls. He couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it. Let it be so. Raise that thing high in your mind. Set yourself that when you marry, you will be a virgin in body. God holds it high in honor. High in honor. And I'll tell you this. It will bless your married life like you will never know until you can say it by experience. And nothing will curse your married life more than to lose it before you're married. I'll just warn you with that. Set it high. Hold it high. Don't let anything touch it. Because it's very important to you, and it's very important to God, and it's part of the garments of one of the king's daughters. It's hard to find them today. Even in the, quote, Christian world out there, it's hard to find them. But you be one. Be one. Set yourself. Not only to be a virgin, but to have the spirit of a virgin. What do I mean by that? I mean that which goes on inside of your heart. Inside of your heart. You can lose the spirit of a virgin without losing virginity. And I'd like this morning to lift the standard that high before all of you sisters. God's plan, God's will, God's desire for each one of you is that you have the spirit of a virgin as well as being a virgin. God wants both. Stay away from touching, holding, hugging. Stay away from it. You may not lose your virginity, but you'll lose the spirit of a virgin if you go that way. It will spark flames of lust in you that will snatch away the spirit of a virgin. And that's what God wants you to have. Stay away from flirting. That's not the spirit of a virgin. You'll lose the spirit of it if you give yourself over to flirting. You know the phrase better than I do. She's kind of boy crazy. God forbid. God forbid. Did you know that a true virgin keeps even her heart for that one man that she's going to marry? Not just her body. She keeps even her heart for that one man that she's going to marry. And I want to encourage you in that this morning, sisters. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it do flow the issues of life. And what is inside of your heart will have an effect on your outer life. Cultivate, watch over, be jealous over that spirit of a virgin. Number six, the king's daughters, they're clothed with modesty in spirit and in apparel. They're clothed with modesty. What is the spirit of modesty? Well, the scripture uses the word shamefacedness. That's a good description, or one description, of the spirit of modesty. And that word shamefacedness, let me tell you what it means, young ladies. It means that you don't feel free to spend a lot of time looking into the eyes of a man. That's what it means. A shamefaced young lady, and I'll tell you, I see it in this room even today. Usually when I'm preaching, you know, there's sisters here and brothers over here, and I favor looking over here. But here you have all these sisters. Many of you young ladies, when I look you in the eye, your eye goes down. That is shamefacedness. It's right. That is the spirit of modesty. Not wanting to push yourself forward. Not wanting the attention. Not wanting the eyes on you. And when they're on you, that shamefacedness immediately is the response. The opposite of that is wanting the boys' eyes on me. Wanting the boys to look into my eyes. That's the opposite of shamefacedness. But a shamefaced sister doesn't want the attention. And when the eyes are on her, shamefacedness immediately comes. It's good. It's beautiful. What is the spirit of modesty? Not wanting to be a distraction to others. Not wanting to be a temptation to men. That's the spirit of modesty. And of course, I'm sure you know by now, if you've got the spirit of modesty, the other one will take care of itself. That spirit of modesty, that and modesty and humility are very close together when you study them in the Scriptures. That heart that says, I don't want the attention. I don't want the eyes on me. I don't want them focused on me. I don't want the men looking my way. I don't want them wanting to be around me and talking with me all the time. That heart is also the heart of humility. And that heart, if you have it, it will guide you when you're sitting in front of your sewing machine. It'll guide you when you get into the material store. It'll guide you when you go to the department store. It will guide you and help you to make decisions which will bring forth the practice of modesty, which is in apparel. And I'd just like to say here, by way of encouragement to each one of you, that you open your heart for tomorrow's session. Because tomorrow's session will be with the sisters. There'll be some older sisters here teaching the younger sisters about some very important things. I would plead with you. I would plead with each one of you that you open your heart to the older sisters that God has surrounded your life with. Open your heart to them. Listen to them. They're speaking from experience. They're speaking from many lessons. They're speaking out of a history of many failures. Maybe not in their lives, but in other lives. They've seen the failures. Listen to them as they encourage you tomorrow about modesty. It's very important that the king's daughters know what modesty is all about. Because the Bible says holiness is beautiful. And I believe you'll never be truly beautiful until you learn how to clothe your body in a holy way. It may not be beautiful in the eyes of the world, but I promise you, God will look at it and say, beautiful. Beautiful. And I promise you, godly young men will look and say, beautiful. And if you have to dress to get their eye and get a husband, you're not going to like the one you get anyway. Promise you. You won't like the one you get. If you have to draw him by the hair or the dress or the cuff or whatever it is, if you have to draw him with that, you're not going to like what you got. You won't like it. If he's not drawn by the beauty of holiness, you don't want him. Anyway, it won't work out. It won't be good. And lastly, and let's turn to 1 Peter for this one. And what we've covered so
so far, you know, is by no means inclusive. There's probably others that we could speak about, but these are seven that the Lord laid upon my heart. And the last one is, the king's daughters are clothed with the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. They are clothed with the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read these scriptures and verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be, or let the adorning be, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I'd like us to notice a couple things about these verses. First of all, God says, I want you to center on the hidden man of your heart. It's not corruptible. The work that God does inside your heart is not corruptible. It'll never fade away. In fact, I believe in my heart, to the measure that you allow God to wrought the Spirit of Christ in your heart, to that measure shall ye shine for all eternity. That work is not corruptible. Oh, it seems so sad that many, many young ladies will spend so much time working on their hair and their clothes and all of those things when all of that is corruptible. And very little time on the things that are incorruptible and that cannot fade away. But I'd like us also to notice that God uses the terms here, adorning and ornament. And these words mean just what they say. They're decorative words. They're words of decoration. Decorate yourself, God says. Ornament yourself. Clothe yourself with the beauty of a meek and quiet spirit. Meek? What is meekness? Meekness is submission to God. That's what it is. Meekness is submission to God. What a beautiful thing to be clothed with. Amen? Clothe yourself with a heart that is totally consecrated to God, which means you live out your every day upon this earth with that spirit of submission to God. Meekness with a meek and a quiet spirit. What is quiet? Well, quiet is not loud. Real simple. Quiet is not loud. Quiet is quiet. Quiet, let me show you what quietness is. Look up here. Here's what quietness is. Everybody get it? That's it. Clothe yourself with quietness. That's what the Bible says. And God even says, oh, if you clothe yourself with this, this is in my sight of great price. You are very valuable. You'll find favor in my sight. It's of great price. Clothe yourself with quietness. And you will be radiant and beautiful, speaking from the context and the perspective of a man. Nothing is more beautiful, even to a worldly man, and a meek and quiet spirit. Nothing. Clothe yourself with a meek and quiet spirit.
Well, here we have this king's daughter. Let's look at her for a moment with all of her clothes on. She knows God. She loves God. Her heart's desire and priority is for God. She's full of the Word of God. And that Word of God that she's full of course, is flowing out of her life and is being lived out in her life. She's clothed with a spirit of submission. And the spirit of submission is sensed and seen on the face and known by everyone. She's prepared for life. And that preparedness puts an aura of confidence about her because she's prepared for life. She's a virgin. She has the spirit of a virgin. And there's something that quiets something about her that says to the young men, I am not available for any of your ideas. There's that quiet something that speaks out of her life that says to the young men, I'm very expensive and I'm only available for one young man. She's beautiful. She's clothed with the spirit and the practice of modesty. And she's clothed with a meek and a quiet spirit. And she's one of the king's daughters. You see, she belongs to the King of Heaven. She's one of the king's daughters. She's all glorious within. And she's clothed without with gold and tapestry. She's one of the king's daughters. She's all glorious. She is radiant and she is beautiful in the sight of God and every holy man that walks on the face of the earth. She's one of the king's daughters. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you at the end of this session in Jesus' name. We're going to trust you, Lord. I'm just going to trust this little session into your hands. God, I know many of the sisters in this room. I've heard many of them pray. I've caught many of their tears in prayer rooms, Father. I know they want to be, in reality, the king's daughters. Lord, I pray, stir in their heart that hunger, that desire. Lift the standard in their minds and hearts of what you want them to be. I pray that you'll bless each one.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.